Hi there, listeners. It's Farnoosh, and I just want to say I'm really honored that you've chosen to subscribe to So Money. I know there are a lot of podcasts out there. The fact that you're here is not lost on me. Now, if you're enjoying these episodes and you're benefiting from the advice and you want more, I've actually created something really special for us. It's called the So Money Members Club. It's an online platform where you can connect more closely with me and engage with fellow So Money fans who want to become more empowered in their financial lives. The website is SoMoneyMembers.com. And when you go there, you'll learn all the benefits, including exclusive monthly finance workshops, private group calls with me. You get your questions answered in our member community. I'm often in there weighing in, and you get instant access to all of our workshop recordings. We have a robust library that's growing. So far, we've had workshops on investing in real estate, kids and money, and how to earn more in 2024. And most of all, it's fun, positive, encouraging, all the things personal finance should be. Go to SoMoneyMembers.com, and I hope you'll join us. I'm limiting enrollment, and doors will close soon. Check out SoMoneyMembers.com. Did you know that I'm a podcast host and also a mind reader? Because I know that you want to grow your portfolio, to deal with the rising costs of inflation, to pay off your debt or your mortgage. You want to attack pretty much anything standing in the way of you and your financial freedom, right? Well, here's one solution: more knowledge. This podcast helps, I hope. And you can use Yahoo Finance, where you can get access to the news, data, and tools that you need to help reach your definition of financial freedom. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. They're the number one finance destination, and I know because I worked there for many years, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, customizable charts, so much more. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money, episode 720, Libby Leffler, Vice President of Membership at SoFi.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
Our guest today negotiated with the tooth fairy as a kid, so you can only imagine her success now as an adult. Welcome to So Money, everyone. I'm Farnoosh Torabi. Libby Leffler is our guest today. After driving a hard bargain with the tooth fairy, she went on to become a founding member of leanin.org and work closely with Facebook's Sheryl Sandberg. Libby later received her MBA from Harvard Business School, where she was also co-class president. She is a Forbes 30 Under 30 alum, and was also featured by Business Insider as one of the most important women in tech under 30. Today, Libby is Vice President of Membership at Social Finance, or SoFi, a company that we have highlighted here on So Money many a times. It offers innovative products and tools for lending, wealth management, and more. And there, Libby oversees the company's member community to help them achieve their financial and career goals through events across the country. Here's Libby Leffler. Libby Leffler, welcome to So Money. It's great to finally connect with you. I feel like our worlds have been colliding in the last 6 months.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm just such a big fan of So Money, and it's awesome to be here and chat with you today.
Thanks. Yeah, we have some mutual connections. And of course, I am a fan from afar as someone who really appreciates what SoFi offers to consumers. We've had in the past on co-founder Dan Macklin, CMO Joanne Bradford. And so it's no secret that I'm a real cheerleader for SoFi as a wonderful new-ish company that is helping consumers with everything from loans to their careers. Your role specifically, Libby, is VP of Membership at SoFi, which I think is a real differentiator when it comes to when you're looking at the kind of the landscape of financial technology and financial services companies out there, especially those that are online oriented. Tell us a little bit about your responsibilities and how you interact with the SoFi community.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're really excited about the way that we always think about and put our members at the very center. At SoFi, we're focused on the ways that we can help our members get ahead. So in addition to offering all the things you talked about, right, student loan refinancing, personal loans, investing, we also offer our members a whole suite that comes along with their membership just because we want to help them get ahead. To us, our members are not customers. They really are members. And so we mean that in the things that we do with and for our members to help enable their careers and their money journeys, and also to help them with their relationships. So the first big thing I would say that we're very focused on with membership is our community events. And we do hundreds of community events every single year, all across the United States, totally for free for our members to attend, that range from everything from social and networking opportunities to career opportunities and career seminars, and more. These are really great chances for our members to meet one another, and we love bringing them together to be able to do that. The second piece that we're focused on is our one-to-one career coaching and the career services that we offer at SoFi. And like you know so well, investing in your career, understanding your worth, and having a vision for how to get there are so important to be able to achieve those career goals. And so as we think about career, we really want to be able to give our members access to the best career coaches in the industry who can help them create that vision for who they want to, what they want to be in their career and how to get there. And so we're very invested in that piece of what we do. And finally, I would say on the online side, we have a very engaged Facebook group of over 40,000 members. The group is available just to those members. About 10,000 of them come back every single day. And they're engaged with each other in that group across advice, tips, and tricks. I go into the group quite frequently. I also pick up advice and tips there. And so that's a really great way that we sort of marry the offline and the online to really bring together and bridge the membership experience at SoFi.
What are some of the hot topics that are coming up that are trending right now in your community that you said, you know, even like you're learning some tips and tricks from the conversations?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the biggest thing that emerges and the strongest member insight that we see is that financial independence means so many things to so many different people. And so we really see that emerge through that member group. So for one person, it might be what you're talking about, right? Not having to take that one job because you're worried about paying the bills, but instead being able to make choices. And whatever those choices might be, right? We're agnostic to what they might be, but we want to help foster and reward our members' ambition, whatever it might be. Whether your ambition is to save for a big vacation, whether it's to spend more time with family, whether it's to take the big job and the risk on something that you might not feel ready to do yet. Those are some of the biggest things that we see coming through and really emerging through, you know, both our one-to-one interactions with members and also in our Facebook group. We also have topics that are kind of new and interesting on the forefront of career guidance and advice. So one of the things that came up just a few months ago was this idea of mid-career sabbaticals. Farnoosh, I don't know if you've ever heard of anyone taking a mid-career sabbatical. I've had a few former colleagues who've taken these over time. We've got a lot of members asking us about this, right? At some of the companies that our members are working at, there are benefits when you stay for a certain period of time where you can take that sabbatical. And many are asking, should I do this? Is it good for my career? How do I think about it, you know, relative to my own success and relative to the goals that I have for my career? So I would say that, you know, there are all different things that emerge. Those are just some of the new things that we're seeing. And then, of course, There's the regular standbys. Everyone's always looking for advice on how to be a better negotiator. People always looking for advice on how to ask for a raise and how to do it tactfully and how to do it in a way that your boss will be receptive to. And so our coaches are constantly fine-tuning that advice and jumping into those conversations as well through our SoFi members Facebook group to offer those great kernels of wisdom alongside our members who are so engaged and often comment to help one another as well, which is part of the benefit of being part of this community. Mm.
I want to brag a little bit about you, Libby. I offered the introduction to you and your bio, but I want to just recap. So before SoFi, you've worked at Facebook and Google. You worked closely with Sheryl Sandberg. You went to Harvard Business School, have your MBA from there. Marie Claire magazine named you one of the most influential women in America. My gosh, that's huge. Forbes 30 under 30 alum.
That was very generous.
Well, I love the Marie Claire editors are very selective. They make no mistakes. And so if you were to give maybe a title to this chapter in your career, in your life, that now you've landed at SoFi and leading your head of membership and all of that, what would sort of be the name of this chapter? And what are you hoping to sort of achieve in this period in your career? As I know your star is really rising.
Oh gosh, well, thank you. I mean, that's just such a compliment, especially coming from you, Farnoosh. I would say, really kind of the book across the board, you're asking about the chapter. I'm really early in my career. So I still think of this as part of sort of the first chapter.
It's the forward.
we're into chapter one now, I think. But I would say, really the common thread across the board of all of the work that I've done across the great companies that I've had the opportunity to work at this awesome company, Reinventing Personal Finance, is all about community building. You mentioned I was at Google. I was also at Facebook for several years. That's all about people. And here at SoFi today, as Vice President of Membership, my role is all about the way that we connect our members, the way that we give our members access, solutions, and opportunity. And so as I think about it, you asked me about the first chapter. Again, I think I'm kind of at the beginning or in the middle of that first chapter. And really, it's all about how do you bring people together? Trying to be, a great person in the community, trying to be a connector. Like you said at the very beginning, right? You and I kind of have been connected through different people over time. I think it's always great to be able to bring people together to help them achieve their goals. And if I can help, others achieve their goals, I feel like that makes me, feel a lot closer to what I'm aiming to do kind of in my career and in my work, at SoFi especially.
I'm going to guess that when you were growing up and you were going through school, that you were super organized, really driven, ambitious, great student. But what is something about you that falls short? Give me something so I'm not so jealous of you or so envious, right? Like what is like a weakness or something that, I was terrible at physics, even though my father is a PhD in physics. I got a D one quarter in physics. And you know what? I almost like wore it like a badge of honor because I felt like such a cool, I felt like such a rebel. I was like, I'm not the greatest at science. I'm not the greatest at also delegating work. I'm a terrible boss. So what's something about you that, is not a, 5 stars?
Yeah. So, I am very organized, as you would say. I would say maybe organized to a fault. I don't think it's I think you should be able to kind of go with the flow a little bit. I'm getting better at that. It's taken some time over the years. I mean, the other thing that is really ingrained and that I work on every single day is how quickly I move. So we all want to move quickly. We all aspire to move fast. There are good and bad things as it comes to moving quickly. I think that there are times when if you move so fast that you're kind of, leaving behind critical and important details, that can be an issue. So I'm always trying to be as thoughtful as I can. I have really sort of strong instincts about where things should go, where we want to go strategically, what the insight is and what the insight or the takeaway might be. And so when you move really quickly and you have those instincts, you think kind of everyone else around you is also on board. That's sort of one of my development areas among the many development areas I have, believe it or not, Farnoosh, which is, you know, to slow down, to be methodical, to take a minute, and despite what my instinct is telling me, to also consider the other side of the equation. I think that's a really important lesson that I've learned in the last several years. Certainly learned this from Joanne Bradford, who you know, who brought me to SoFi, who's an amazing mentor here at SoFi, you know, to really be thoughtful and to consider sort of all of the things that are going on before making kind of a knee-jerk decision or a knee-jerk reaction. But look, we all have plenty to work on. I focus on this every day. We have a great membership team here at SoFi. We have a great broader team here at SoFi. You know, one of the things I always try to do is ask my team for feedback. You know, I haven't always been perfect at this. I thought for a long time that everyone just gives people feedback on what they're thinking and is kind of transparent or an open book. The reality is, you know, we have to constantly ask for this feedback all the time to improve what we do and get better. So that's something I've really practiced over the last several years, especially, is asking people for feedback, how they're doing, checking in, realizing that those small moments of personal connection really mean so much, even in the world when you're moving super, super fast. And things are changing like crazy around you, is just to slow down, take a minute, and really connect. And again, it goes back to that community building, that connection, right? I'm all about connecting with people. And sometimes I have to remind myself to slow down a little bit and keep those connections going. I want to keep that personal connection and ask for feedback about how I can get better so I can create new development areas. So if you have stuff for me after, I'm going to ask you after this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, hey, I'm an open book. In your efforts to get feedback, did you ever ask your former boss, Sheryl Sandberg, for feedback? And if so, what did she ever bestow upon you?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, if you read anything about Sheryl, if you've read Lean In, she talks a lot about feedback as a gift. And so I would say that, you know, the greatest piece of feedback that I ever received from Sheryl was to take my seat at the table and to lean in. And while it doesn't sound that original now, given how popular her book has become, how big leanin.org has become.
You're one of the first Lean In disciples.
I mean, I was definitely a Lean In convert very early on. I was fortunate to be able to have that advice from Sheryl pretty early on, you know, in some feedback that she was so open and willing to give me. And really, that changed my career. You know, it gave me sort of the confidence to remember to take my seat at the table, to know what my worth was and what my value was, and to know that if I had prepared for a meeting and there was something I had to say, to not back away from saying it. And that was one of the single most pivotal moments, I would say, and learning lessons that I had. So really one of the most important pieces of feedback I've received.
For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy? You want a bra that's comfortable? You can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or brablem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code PODCAST15. Did you know that I'm a podcast host and also a mind reader? Because I know that you want to grow your portfolio, to deal with the rising costs of inflation, to pay off your debt or your mortgage. You want to attack pretty much anything standing in the way of you and your financial freedom, right? Well, here's one solution: more knowledge. This podcast helps, I hope. And you can use Yahoo Finance, where you can get access to the news, data, and tools that you need to help reach your definition of financial freedom. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. They're the number one finance destination, and I know because I worked there for many years, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, customizable charts, so much more. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. The weather's getting warmer. As I record, it's a nice 73 degrees on the East Coast. So finally, time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and, fingers crossed, hello to shorts and tees. And I need to update my wardrobe for the long haul. And, you know, I don't want to spend a fortune. So luckily, I found Quince. I'm honest. I've got a lineup of timeless pieces from Quince that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and tons more. Best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. I have t-shirts from Quince, pajamas from Quince. My very chic and fashionable sister-in-law, Hannah, her whole closet is Quince. And people often stop us and ask, where did you get this? Don't tell me the price. And then when I do, they're shopping on Quince.com. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to Quince.com/somoney for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince.com/somoney to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/somoney. Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes you like so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, even the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today.
Let's go and talk about Libby, little Libby. Growing up, we already established that you were pretty type A as a kid. But when it came to learning about money, we talk about this with guests often because it's undeniable your kind of relationship with money as an adult, good, bad, meh, stems from childhood, at least partly. So what is a story from growing up that really captures the financial introduction that you got as a kid, the kind of the beginnings of your learning about money? What was the story and what did you learn?
Great question. So when I think about my family, you know, money and business and work was always part of the dinner conversation at my house. My dad worked, my mom still works today. My parents are in real estate. My whole family works in real estate. So I'm kind of the outlier, I guess I would say. And my parents often talked about, you know, my dad's a commercial real estate broker. He often talked about the deals he was doing. My mom is a CFO. She would talk about kind of the different challenges that she had at work and the different things she was going through. And I think talking about money, hearing about this work, piqued my interest at a really early age and got me more fluent early on about how money works, how business works, how you build companies. And, you know, I always had a healthy respect, I would say, for especially when your family works in real estate, how deals are negotiated. So one of the earliest stories is kind of my family lore that I would say that really kind of speaks to who I am and my personality is, you know, my dad retells this quite often about being little and negotiating with the tooth fairy.
So no way.
I did negotiate with the tooth fairy. This is a true story. And I would ask for, as I would lose teeth, more money per tooth. So my dad will often recount the story that at the end of losing my teeth, that I was up to $5 a tooth, which now looking back on it, makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, I was never afraid to negotiate or ask for what I wanted and what I felt I deserved when it came to money. And that started at a really early age. And truthfully, my parents really encouraged it. And they were kind of, you know, always helping me to gain sort of a fluency and a knowledge and an understanding of how these things work, how their business worked, and, you know, really humored me when I negotiated as my teeth were falling out.
Oh my
Which
God.
Is a pretty,
oh
that's a long time ago.
That is a first on this episode, on this podcast, negotiating with the tooth fairy. Well, fast forward to your adult life, negotiating for yourself for a raise. What's a story that you can share? You don't have to get specific about the employer, but a pivotal moment for you when it came to asking for what you knew was your worth, maybe a lesson for all of us, something that you practiced and it worked, or a trick and you applied it and it worked, other than, of course, you know, doing the market research and all of that stuff that we already know. But are there any like hacks that you have utilized along the way?
Yeah, one of the things that I did early on in my career was I would always keep on a quarterly basis, like a running list of kind of the big projects I was working on, what my goals were. So you always have your goals on a team, whether you set them on a quarterly basis, maybe you have annual goals or a half year basis, but I'm always tracking toward those goals. But above and beyond that, I also have all sorts of other goals that I'm tracking in my life, right? Things that I want to do personally, things that I'm hoping to achieve at home, with my family, with my friends. There's other personal goals I have, like fitness goals, whatever they might be. And I was always keeping this like running doc of what those goals were and kind of the things I was doing to achieve them. Was I making progress toward those goals? And what I realized early on is that, you know, I had this kind of running doc that was incorporating the goals that I had at work, but then there were all these other projects that I was doing and working on and taking on and things I was really excited about in the workplace. And I started tracking those there too. So anytime that I thought, okay, I can demonstrate really clearly I've met or exceeded, ideally exceeded, the goals that I set for myself in this period of time, and I contributed to the organization in other ways that were material and that mattered to the business, and here's how I did that. And having all of that, having sort of a record of all of that, having that detailed out, what I did, the specifics, the metrics, and kind of how I knew it drove something meaningful, make it really easy to walk in and say, here's what I did, what you expected, here's what I did above and beyond, and here's how I'm going to continue to deliver. Because it's not just about what you did looking back, it's also about how you plan to deliver going forward. And so I always thought about it in that way. It's actually been a great record for me to look back on and say, you know, how have I grown in the workplace? How am I continually developing myself personally, becoming a better leader, becoming a better business person, becoming better at what I do, and fine-tuning how I'm contributing to our business. And so I've never been one to shy away from taking on additional responsibility. I've never been one to shy away from doing jobs I'm not yet ready to do. There have been plenty of jobs in the history of kind of my experience to date where, you know, I took things on that I maybe wasn't yet ready to do. And that was the most exciting part. So when you're asking me about a hack, I would say keep track of the stuff you're working on and the ways that you're contributing above and beyond. It's a really easy way. It's often when you're very busy, it's easy to forget all of that stuff and the ways that you're contributing. But if you can make it very simple for your boss or whomever you're asking for that raise from to understand how you chipped in, what you did, you can't look to them to materialize that for you. You've got to own that. And that's my biggest advice for anyone who's seeking out, you know, whether it's a bonus, a raise, a promotion. It's to make it easy for someone else, package it up so that they can really clearly understand the value that you're bringing. It's not always going to work perfectly. You
no,
can keep
but-
something on that conversation over time. It's not a one-time ask and you receive deal. This is, you know, when you're in the workplace, this is a compact that you have with someone on how you're going to deliver in the workplace and continually deliver. And to me, it's an ongoing conversation.
Yes. And because you're making it easier for your boss, they're more likely to go out and be an advocate for you because the buck doesn't always stop with your boss. He or she then has to go to his or her boss and or HR and see what the budget allows. And if you do make that easier for them, then they'll really appreciate it because ultimately that is what they have to do. They have to advocate on your behalf. But if you can just tell them what to advocate for or here's the proof, it's going to probably happen a lot quicker too. When it comes to your financial life, what is something that you're really good at and something that is a work in progress?
So I'll start with kind of the work in progress because, you know, I'm always focusing on personal development. So I would say, you know, as I think about finances and I think about my career over time, I'm always aiming to save more, to invest more, to get to a place of financial independence, whatever that might look like for me and my husband. And, you know, most of the stuff that's kind of silly that I've spent money on is really hanging in my closet. So when I look at sort of the stuff that I haven't, you know, the stuff that I've spent money on over time, I would say that now that I'm kind of in a different place in my career, I know how hard it is to kind of earn that money and how much harder it is to keep it. You know, I see those kinds of things and wonder, should I have really spent that on investing that money instead of buying stuff? Because stuff doesn't really do it for me. It's really more about the experiences. It's really more about time. It's really more about time with people. That is the most meaningful to me right now in my life. I don't see that changing anytime soon. So I'm not that great at, but I'm getting better at realizing that the stuff is really less important than the experiences. And so that's something that as I've matured in my career, also in my personal life, that I've kind of gotten better at. I think the things that I do well, I mean, my husband and I are pretty dedicated to, you know, every month, we have what we call a money date where we talk openly about money and we talk about the big stuff, the little stuff. I mean, all the way to like, where are we going to donate and give next year? What do we want to give to the small stuff down to, you know, hey, there's this like subscription every month for an app. Are we using this? If not, let's get rid of it. Because look, it's all on the table. Even if it's 15, 20 bucks a month, even if it's $5 a month, it all adds up. So we get together on our money date. We trim, we purge, we reassess as needed. And for me, I think that's something I'm really proud of that we've gotten really good at over the last, you know, 15, 16 months of being married to each other. Because joining your finances is really complicated. And, you know, I'd never done that before. I had no idea what to expect. And it's kind of a nice rhythm that we've gotten into. So I'm really proud of that. I mean, one thing that I would say that, you know, is interesting for me is when I started dating my husband, when he was, you know, when we were first dating, on one of our very first dates, he looked at me and he said, "Hey, I have to talk to you about something really serious." And I was like, "Are you breaking up with me?" He's like, "No, no, no. I got to talk to you about something really serious. It's really important to me. We got to sit down and talk about it." And it was, I think it was like our third or fourth date, really early in dating. And he said, "Look, I need to be honest with you. My husband's an MD." He said, "I have a bunch of medical school debt. And I want to tell you this before we embark on a really serious relationship with one another, because this is something you need to know about me." That spoke volumes to me. Like the ability to talk to someone that you're dating early on, right? You're trying to impress people. You're trying to like show people the best side of yourself. And for someone to be so open, so candid about their sort of finances, where they are, and how they've invested in themselves because of their ambition, to serve their ambition, to me, it's almost foreshadowing sort of my journey to SoFi and my real deep understanding and caring for our members and knowing what they've sacrificed to get there. And so that's something I'm really proud about.
What is a big ticket item that you're currently, you and your husband, maybe saving up for? This is a question that is brought to us by our sponsor, Chase Slate. We want to know what your next big purchase may be and how you're saving for it.
So we're always saving up for the opportunity to invest more in our SoFi Wealth account. So we invest in, you know, we try to take and set milestones for ourselves to invest aggressively so that we can build upon that wealth. So there's always little things that we're doing, right? We're always trying to save for a rainy day fund and an emergency fund. We're always trying to hit goals of like what our savings are for this year. But I would say like we have a big number that we want to hit and put into our SoFi Wealth account so we can make more on that. And that's what we're really excited about right now and kind of aggressively planning toward.
Do you see yourself retiring early?
I mean, it depends on your definition of retire. I love working. I love to be able to contribute and to be part of something. For me, work is a real social experience. It's the opportunity to, you know, have a way to contribute and give back and make an impact. And so I don't ever see myself, I mean, I don't want to say, like, I don't want to say always or never. For anything. I don't know what the future holds. But what I would say is, you know, I'm loving the opportunity, especially at SoFi, to build community, to give back, to help build businesses, and to help be a part of something that matters to people and that matters in people's lives. And as long as I can keep doing that, I'll be out there pounding the pavement, making it happen.
Let's do some So Money fill in the blanks to cap the episode. You've been so great, Libby. It's been a pleasure to learn about your past, your present, your future. Let's have some fun and fill in some of these blanks. Don't overthink it. It's just one or two words. Okay, if I won the lottery tomorrow, let's say you won the Powerball, I don't know, hundreds of millions of dollars, the first thing I would do is...
Farnoosh, I would take some risks. I think I'd try investing in crypto.
Really?
Yes, of course. I mean, again,
if you got that much to spare, sure.
Look, of course there's conservative things I would do, right? Like I have nieces and nephews. I'd invest in their college funds. But look, I think if I won $1 million tomorrow, I would take it and just invest in some crazy stuff. I'd educate myself in some really interesting things that are out there, including crypto and other things, and really try to make that money work for me.
That's fine. I think that's when you do it. You know, I think that I think the whole crypto craze, I feel like we are talking about it as if like, if you aren't investing in it, you're missing out. And I think when the average American doesn't even have $400 in the bank account to cover an emergency, you know, crypto is just not something that should be on their radar. But sure, certainly if you have money to invest in alternative things because you've done all the other good work of putting your money in the conservative places and you have a little bit extra money that you're okay with losing, then things like crypto and, you know, other kind of riskier asset classes is probably the time to really look at it more seriously. So yeah. I concur. All right. One thing I spend on that makes my life easier or better or both is?
Let me think. So one of the things I love to do is write personal notes to people, like actual snail mail, which I know kind of dates me a little bit, especially having worked in the tech industry, but I love it. Like there's something so personal and tactile about receiving a letter in the mail, opening it and having someone's handwriting there. And so I actually subscribe to a company that makes it super easy. They send me 5 letterpress cards every month that I love and 5 stamps. And they come in this little plastic thing and I stick them in my purse or I stick them in my desk or whatever. And I take them around with me. And when I have 5 or 10 minutes, I'll jot off a note to a friend or I'll send a happy birthday card to someone that I know their birthday is that month. And, you know, it's a really easy way for me to stay in touch with people I care about. Again, it all goes back to community. I just get such a thrill from keeping those personal connections, from building community. And this is a way I can keep that personal touch point going. That makes my life easier. I mean, the other thing is, of course, there's all these on-demand apps. Instacart makes my life easier. If you have, you know, I've gotten to the point where I'm able to use an app like that for grocery deliveries. I have not always been at that point. Certainly not in my life and definitely not early in my career. And I made big sacrifices up front, including walking to the grocery store and walking home with the bags. But today I'm in a place where I feel like, you know, I can use those types of things, those conveniences to make my life a little bit easier every day.
Well, and they include the stamps. I mean, how much easier can it get?
Exactly.
But yeah, Instacart, going back to the first thought you had, I was still stuck on note cards because that's how much I liked that one. It's true. I don't think there's anything overrated, underrated about a classically written note card with your own ink and signature. Yeah. It's timeless. And I hope that we never give up that practice.
Absolutely.
All right. One thing I wish I had learned about money growing up is?
I think just the importance of why you pay taxes, how complicated they can be, and all of the nuances that go into it. So I really think that schools should have a class on this starting very early, like in middle school, junior high, whatever you want to call it, for, you know, why you pay taxes and why that's important, how you do it and why to do it on time, or if you're not going to, what that means, and kind of all of the different nuances that go into it. Of course, like this is something as an adult that you just get more adept at every year as you go on. But I think if you're asking me what I wish I knew growing up, I wish I knew more about that growing up, because as an adult, I've kind of had to cobble around and sort of figure it out as I go. And as I'm, you know, getting more sophisticated in some of the things we're talking about, which is, you know, investing and how we're saving.
All right. And when I donate, I like to give to blank because...
I love to give to arts organizations. My husband and I both. I think it's so important to keep arts education alive and for well-rounded education, especially in the public school system. I attended public school from the very beginning all the way to my undergraduate degree at UC Berkeley. It's so important to be able to have that arts education and that creative outlet for students. And so we donate to arts organizations primarily to be able to keep that arts education in schools, because we think this is so important.
All right. I lied. This is the last one. Okay. I'm Libby Leffler. I'm so money because?
Because I believe in my version of what financial independence looks like. And I want to help others get there too. So through my work at SoFi, I'm really focused on helping empower others to pay off debt, invest in their careers, and take control of their money.
Thank you so much, Libby. I look forward to following your career. Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me, Farnoosh. It was awesome.
You can learn more about Libby and SoFi at SoFi.com, also at SoFi on Twitter. Libby's personal Twitter is at LibbyLH. All this info is back at SoMoneyPodcast.com. Download the transcript and the audio. And if you have a question for me, you know what to do. Click on that Ask Farnoosh button, will ya? And send me your question for the Friday episodes. I'm also pretty active on Instagram at Farnoosh Tarabi if you want to connect with me there and just send me a direct message, a question. Sometimes I go live. It's a great way to instantly send me your thoughts on the go. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and I hope your day is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy? You want a bra that's comfortable? You can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or problem.
Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code PODCAST15.